Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Left in our work week. I hope you're on the same schedule as us. Sometimes I feel like I'm gloating. Mostly it's just relief. This was one heck of a week. My goodness. I actually went running on Wednesday evening. I didn't have a chance to mention it, but went running on Wednesday evening and completely avoided the place where I was chased by a wild turkey. So went a different direction, different neighborhood entirely, so that I did not encounter the turkey again. But on Thursday evening, I drove to my yoga class, which, weirdly enough, featured just me and the instructor. So she was holding a class in her home studio, which has room for four people, including her, or not including her, four students and then her, and nobody else had signed up. And I asked her if she wanted to cancel. And she said, no, I'm ready for you if you want to. Now, private yoga sessions, they cost a lot of money. But because no one else showed up, I got to pay the price for the class, which was easy, $15, and got a great stretching session. And she was helping me do some kind of deeper stretches. Oh, heavens, though. When you do running, it's your hips that really can become tight. Obviously the quads and the hamstrings. So we did some really deep stretches and poses that hurt like nobody's business. But once we were done stretching, I felt so much better. It actually really did open up a lot of those areas. So yes, it was great class. Raced home from there, was going to make it a Taco Thursday, but didn't have time because the draft and basketball were already starting. So I had started the draft on my DVR, was able to pause it, quick get some dinner, and then catch up. But because of how slowly the picks go, it was maybe pick number 9 and I was already caught up. So really didn't take long at all. It was a lot of lights, noises. The poor Roger Goodell with the reverb every single time he made a pick. That would be really hard to deal with. But they set this up in Union Station, same place as they had their championship rally after their victory parade just a couple months ago. So we'll continue to pick apart some of the different layers. But three quarterbacks go in the top four. CJ Stroud, that question is answered right away at number 2. Many people expected that the Texans would go defense, which they did, but not until pick number 3 when they moved up. The number of linemen, big dudes, who picked up Roger Goodell and threw him around like a rag doll was pretty funny. We had the Make-A-Wish winner, Kyle, who selected for the Jets. Probably my favorite moment.
The New York J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
But the part that I love so much, in addition to his exuberance, is that he was dressed up in a suit with a tie the color of Jets green or gang green. And he was so polite. He thanked Roger Goodell. He thanked the Jets. He thanked the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And really the best part is that he's now a survivor of bone cancer. His cancer is in remission. And so he's no longer going through treatment. The young man is able to recover. It did look like a party. It was emotional in many ways. And I'm excited for these young men and their families who have realized dreams. Certainly the agents and the teams themselves. Also, the multiple layers for what we see in the first round of the NFL draft. Now, the second round still to come, second, third, obviously on down. The money isn't quite as exorbitant, but certainly there are teams that are looking for value. There are teams that still haven't been able to select. There are teams that have their war rooms and a lot of players that they could fit into their system. So there's plenty still to come. But this first round is the one that's made for TV. This first round is the one where the ratings and the viewership are always charted. And I think about the competition it had tonight. The Celtics-Hawks, that game taking place in Atlanta on TNT. Great finish. In fact, really good game. All of these games, all six of them, were compelling and tight. In this game six, there were 22 lead changes, 15 ties. So the Hawks were able to go toe-to-toe with the Celtics for the most part. Hockey, we ended up with three games and only one series ender. So the Vegas Golden Knights, they move on after winning their series 4-1. Rangers-Devils were taking place. That one in New Jersey. In fact, the Devils PR guy, whose name is also Kyle, it's a friend of mine, he reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to be on the credential list for Thursday's game at the Prudential Center in Newark. And I told him I had a previous commitment, and I was not referring to yoga. I didn't have the heart to tell him, oh, sorry, man, the draft is going on. I can't go to a hockey game. I do love hockey, and it looked like an amazing atmosphere, but I can't miss the draft. There's no time to make up that first round and be ready before the show. But I tried to break it to him gently. I didn't want to tell him that I was turning my back on playoff hockey for the NFL draft, but maybe he didn't know. Maybe he didn't know that the draft was taking place. Do you think he's so immersed in the Stanley Cup postseason that he had no idea?
Just locked into the round.
Right. Doesn't recognize. Or maybe he thinks NHL playoffs are far and away more entertaining and better radio material than the NFL draft.
He could think that, maybe, but he's got to know the NFL drives the bus always.
The NFL is the big bad behemoth. Yes, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, more from the draft. Lamar Jackson, a lot of your comments coming in about his contract. This was, in fact, best case scenario for both the Ravens and Lamar. I'm happy for both of them. And then even looking ahead to the weekend, we've got multiple semifinal series beginning in the NBA, though we still have the potential for some game sevens. All right, find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can weigh in and fill in the blank. We're getting a bunch of your responses. The first round of the NFL draft was what? And then on our Facebook page too. I have no idea why Go Pack Go is trending. I'm looking over to the side where Will Levis is trending. 60,000 plus tweets about Will Levis. Yikes. This isn't quite like Aaron Rodgers in the 2005 draft. Remember, he and Alex Smith were possibilities at number one overall to the San Francisco 49ers. And when he didn't go number one overall, he dropped. Good thing it didn't affect his ego. He dropped to number 24. And ultimately, the commissioner allowed him to leave the green room and head into his private quarters where he wasn't in the spotlight until his name was called. Will Levis had the camera on him almost nonstop through the rest of the first round. And we heard the report, at least on NFL Network, we heard from Ian Rappaport that if he didn't go in the top five, if there wasn't a trade of a team to move up to get him, then he likely wasn't going to go in the rest of the top 10. So five was the Seahawks, and there had been some chatter that they might take a quarterback. Maybe they weren't sure. They did tell us that they were leaving all their options open even after they reached an agreement with Geno Smith. But they end up going defense and cornerback. And so after that, Rappaport was pretty certain that there wasn't going to be another quarterback selected for quite a while. And as it turned out, While there were some offensive players chosen, in fact, two running backs in the top 12, which is relatively rare, the Lions selected another player out of Alabama, Jahmyr Gibbs. He was shocked to go number 12. So we'll hear from him here momentarily. But yeah, you keep going, keep going. A bunch of cornerbacks, a lot of linemen. There were actually a run of wide receivers, four of them in a row. But that didn't happen until picks 20 through 24. There was no pick 21 because of the Miami Dolphins situation. But yeah, four receivers taken in a row. We did have Dalton Kincaid, the tight end out of Utah, that our guest from earlier in the week, Joe DeLeon, was so high on. But no more quarterbacks selected outside of the three in the first four picks. And so Will Levis and several others sat in the green room, and there was no relief. Well, the green room, it was essentially the player and family's waiting area. Kind of cool at the train station, but it was wide open and everybody could see it. And there were cameras all over. He handled himself well. He had family, significant other, friends with him. I don't know who did the counting, but producer Jay tells me that Levis was shown on camera, and I'm not sure which network. I was watching NFL Network. Levis was shown on camera 37 times, 29 more than anyone else. Oh my God. Who counted that?
That is according to NFL Rookie Watch on Twitter. They're, and they're verified.
Well, does that mean these days, right? Now, Levis himself, going back to his pro day, had indicated he would only attend the draft if he had some assurance that he actually would leave the green room in the first round.
If I get invited and like if I know like I'll be a pretty high pick, I'll definitely go. I'm looking forward to going, but I don't want to go if like I could be like a second round pick, you know. You don't want to be that. Don't want to have the camera just on you all day.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. Producer Jay would say, don't speak it into existence. Don't even entertain the notion that that could happen. Well, then what do you think he believed? That the Seahawks might take him? That, I don't know. How does that happen? He said, unless he had assurances, but either someone lied to him, which I can't imagine would be the case, or his agent was receiving information and telling him that he was likely to be selected.
I guess the Lions at 12, maybe.
Really?
I don't know.
They're so happy with Jared Goff. They've got other needs. Interesting.
Tennessee.
They just selected a quarterback last year in Malik Willis. I hope he didn't get misled and deceived, and that maybe he just thought he would be selected before Anthony Richardson. So that's the other thought, is that potentially instead of going Richardson, if not the Texans, who did go with CJ Stroud, but if not the Texans, that number three pick, there was a lot of talk, right? That if CJ hadn't gone number two, that a team would have jumped up into number three spot to grab before the Colts. But If what the draft picks are telling us, and we heard this from both Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, they did not know when they were going to get selected. So here, do we have the Westwood One Sports with Bryce Young? He himself said, and if we don't, sorry, I'm not sure where all of these came from. He himself said that he did not know he was going number one overall. It was clear by Stroud's reaction with the tears that he did not know he was going number two overall, because there was some incredible relief there, not to mention just the release of emotion as he's getting selected and, well, receiving the phone call and then walking up on a stage. He's letting all of that emotion out of him. So if that's the case, then maybe Levis believed he would end up as number two, or that a team would move up to number three to grab him, or that the Colts would take him at number four instead of Anthony Richardson. So maybe because we didn't know, because they didn't know. It stands to reason Will didn't know either, but was hopeful that he would be one of those quarterbacks selected. So I guess there's that. And certainly teams were, well, you've got scouts, you've got analysts who believe they're connected, who are speaking to the agent, right? And then the agent is kind of feeding the family this information, though there's a lot of misinformation this time of the year as well. I don't feel bad for him. He's still going to get selected, but not the most comfortable situation to be in. But you know what? Sometimes life is tough. If this is the toughest thing you ever face in your life, well then, I think you're okay. It's preparation for the scrutiny of being an NFL quarterback. How about that? We're asking you on social media, the first round of the NFL draft was what? You can fill in the blank. Larry on Twitter, unexpected is my word for this draft. Indy picked AR. He's referring to Anthony Richardson, who we just talked about, because he's untested. And the Falcons pass on JC, meaning Jalen Carter, I'm assuming. You know what happens when you assume. But Jalen Carter being what some call the best player in the entire draft. The defensive lineman out of Georgia. The Eagles moved up to get him. But think about the Eagles this year. Didn't they have four different guys who had at least 10 sacks? That defensive line was a beast this year. And then they move up and grab Jalen Carter. I don't believe that he dropped because of what happened with the car accident. Remember, Devin Willock, teammate, died in a car accident. And if I remember correctly, Jalen pleaded no contest to some of the charges that he faced. There were accusations of racing and the high speeds. We know that the car Devin was in was speeding. And there was at least a conversation of whether or not teams were worried about drafting Jalen Carter. He cannot be charged with anything. This has all been put to bed pre-draft. But there was talk that maybe people were questioning his character. Teams might question his character because of his role, his possible role in this fatal car accident. But the general manager of the Eagles, Howie Roseman, put those concerns to rest.
We understand that all these players, they need to be developed. They're coming into the league at a very young age. They're not finished products. I think all of us, when we were 21 and 22, hopefully have grown a lot from that time. And, you know, you just really want to get to know the person and what's in their heart. And I think when we got to know Jalen, we just felt like here's a kid that, you know, he does love football. Obviously, he's a winner. He won in high school. He won in college. And, you know, we felt like we have really good people in this building. You know, we have really good support staff. We have really good players who are good people. We have really good coaches. And we felt like it was a good fit for us.
Howie Roseman, in a roundabout way, referring to what Jalen went through and what the University of Georgia family has gone through. On Twitter, Ben fills in the blank. The first round of the NFL draft was electric and epic. Those are the two of the words that he uses. Martin says the Giants address cornerback with Deontay Banks from Maryland. They still need to draft a game-breaking wide receiver to help Daniel Jones. Also, really quickly, just want to clarify what I said earlier. I was right about Alabama not having a player go number one overall in this modern era. So the Super Bowl era, right? Joe Namath was selected number one overall, but he was drafted pre-Super Bowl era. It's what they call the modern era, the Super Bowl era, after the merger. So Joe Namath was drafted before that. And anybody who came before that in the 60s, the 50s, the 40s, blah, blah, blah. I mean, Alabama's obviously one of the most storied programs in college football history, and that's not just recent history with Nick Saban. It goes back before that with Bear Bryant, blah, blah. But I was right. I did see that. I think most cases when history is referred to in the NFL, it always refers to the modern era unless there's some stipulation. So I had it right. Just wanted to make sure you know. Bryce Young, the first Alabama product taken number one overall in the modern era of the NFL draft and of the NFL as a whole. All right, coming up, we're going to pivot a little bit just because we have a segment here where we can fit it in. Brittany Griner speaking for the first time since she returned home from the detainment in Russia that lasted 10 months. She was released in December. She did not speak until a press conference in Phoenix in advance of the Mercury season. And her emotions were on display. She smiled. She did laugh. She cried. She was very passionate about what she believes is a new vision, a new goal of hers moving forward, in addition to basketball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We are working in lockstep with the U.S. government and outside experts on trying to expedite her release in any way we can. Certainly, our hearts go out to her and her family, and just are eager for her safe return.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's the voice of NBA Commissioner Adam Silver going back to June of last year, so nearly a year ago, not quite, 10, 11 months ago. Brittany Griner was finally released in a prisoner exchange that was criticized, but was well received by many sports fans in December. We had not heard from her since then. But as the WNBA season approaches, she held a press conference with the Phoenix Mercury. First time that we got to hear from her in this type of a forum. And there are a lot of emotions there, as you can imagine. And honestly, it's even hard for me to imagine being in her shoes. Right away, she noted a lot of people in the room.
A lot of media in here today. I guess I'm going to start with y'all today, right now. First off, I just thank y'all for covering me and all the exposure that you gave me, my family, to get me home. I really appreciate it. That coverage was much needed. I would like to encourage all of you to be at our first game as well, and the whole entire season, covering not only the Phoenix Mercury with the best fans in the league, but the whole entire league as well. You know, from start to finish, I expect to see this same coverage because we have a great product.
Little bit of a plug there for the Mercury and the WNBA, but I like how she started. The reporters, the media, TV and radio in the sports industry definitely kept her story top of mind. And I don't know this for sure, but I suspect that if the media had not, there's a good chance she could still be there. Think about the other prisoners. In fact, one in Russia, it's Marine, I believe, who's still detained there and was not brought home in the prisoner exchange. This is high profile. A lot of attention. A lot of political capital there. But most importantly, she was able to get home. She was sentenced to a 9-year term in prison. And for a while, it looked bleak. I can only imagine the thoughts that were going through her head, not having a lot of contact, very little contact, in some cases not even with the people representing her. And what could they possibly say to give her any assurances? And so there had to be days when she wondered exactly how long she would be there. Maybe thought, this could go on for years. So how did she survive the 10 months that she was detained?
Just digging deep, honestly. You know, you're going to be faced with adversities throughout your life. This was a pretty big one, but I just kind of relied on my hard work getting through it. I know this sounds so small, but, you know, dying in practice, you know, and just hard workouts. You find a way to just grind it out. Just put your head down and just keep going. Just keep moving forward. You know, you can never stand still. And that was my thing. Just never be still. Never get too focused on the now and just, you know, looking forward to, you know, what's to come.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Brittany Griner now trying to get back into basketball shape, and she admits it's not easy. In fact, to hear her talk about some of the challenges, the physical challenges of what she faces to return to the type of shape where she could dominate in the WNBA. She's talking about something as simple as doing a plank. Something as simple as being able to go through a practice without being supremely winded.
Coming back from basically, you know, doing nothing, not having any gym or anything to be at, getting back into it was hard. It's still a process. You know, just the little things. I mean, doing a plank, you know, was so simple before and couldn't even stay up very long, you know, and just a regular plank when I first came back. Because as an athlete, you always want to be where you left off. And I left off playoffs, you know, finals, Chicago. And I wanted to be that player when I started back. And just everybody telling me to give myself grace and it's going to take time. But that's the hardest thing to do to a pro athlete, because we always want to be right back at our tip-top shape. So it's been a struggle, but like I said, it's liberating as well. At the same time, just as a release, just getting back to my craft.
The headline that you may have seen on Thursday was her response about whether or not she would play basketball overseas again. Now, the reason she was there or was trying to get into Russia at the time is because, like many WNBA players, she also plays hoops overseas. And while I think it's unfortunate, the choices that she made, now she decided to go back to Russia or tried to go back to Russia at the exact time that our State Department was telling Americans to get out of Russia. And then what she was carrying in her bag, the vaping cartridges with the hashish, the cannabis oil. I don't think that's a crime worthy of being detained for 9 years, okay? So do not misunderstand me. Still, I wish she had decided, you know what? I don't need the money that badly. I don't need to play basketball in Russia that badly, not with war breaking out. And it certainly has changed her perspective now about playing outside the U.S.
Never going overseas to play again unless I'm representing my country at the Olympics. You know, if I make that team, that would be the only time I would leave the U.S. soil. And that's just to represent the USA. I'll say this, you know, the whole reason a lot of us go over, you know, is the pay gap. You know, a lot of us go over there to make an income, to support our families, to support ourselves. So I don't knock any player that wants to go overseas and, you know, make a little bit extra money. I'm hoping that our league continues to grow, and with as many people in here right now covering this, I hope you continue, like I said, to cover our league, bring exposure to us. I hope a lot of these companies start to invest in our craft.
I know a lot of women's college basketball players who go pro and also play overseas. One of my favorite players that I ever covered when I was working at the University of Hartford has made a career in Greece for over a decade now. She's a very, very high-profile player in Greece. She's made a lot of money and enjoys the life. But Greece is not Russia. And I would never go to Russia for that reason. But that's me. I'm not Brittany. I'm glad she's home. And she says still trying to find normal, whatever that feels like. It's not quite there.
Walking around town, it's a little bit different, a little bit different now. But it felt good just being back, just being on U.S. soil, especially being back here in the Valley. Made this my home. And it was really warming. I had nothing but love, you know, being out and about and just trying to get back to just being normal, you know, just being able to walk out the door and go see and do things. So it's been amazing. All the things that I really couldn't do either because I was overseas playing. So I got to do a couple of those things here recently, which was really nice, actually.
I've not ever been to Russia, nor have I ever been detained and unable to return to the United States. But I will say that of all the international trips I've done, and most of them have been humanitarian trips, mission trips, so third world countries like Mozambique, eighth poorest country in the world, Cuba even, outside Havana, it's very definitely third world conditions, Ecuador, some of the other places I've been, it always makes you appreciate, or it should make you appreciate, the United States of America. But even when I was away for 3 weeks in the British Isles, I remember taking a trip in college. Incredible. Ireland was amazing. Scotland was awesome. I loved the Isle of Man. But I couldn't wait to get home. After 3 weeks outside the United States, people have asked me this before, would you ever live outside the United States of America? Heck no. To me, this is the best country in the world, and it's the only place I ever want to live. But I do think that it's a benefit to Americans to travel to other countries where the conditions are different, where the people live differently with much simpler lives. And they can still have joy, but it's hard. It's hard in a lot of other places where the economy is not as strong, as much as we are not a perfect nation and do not have, or we're not without our own economic issues. But we are rich here in many ways. And I do always feel grateful whenever I return home. Yes. It's not like something I could earn, but I am so proud and so grateful to be an American. All of the time. Even when it's bad. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up, getting back to a little bit of the NFL draft and some of the fun stories. Bryce Young talks about the challenge of being the number one overall pick and having Super Bowl already attached to his name. Thanks, David Tepper. Not just Super Bowl, actually, but the owner of the Panthers went with Super Bowls and the S. Anthony Richardson's brother delivers this sweet message to him. After he gets selected number 4 overall, talk about a meteoric rise for Anthony from the combine to now. And lo and behold, the Jets draft pick at number 15 grew up in Wisconsin. Oh, hello, Aaron Rodgers.
People are coming here to play with me.
Oh, stop it.
You are listening to the After Hours.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Hours Podcast.
Wow, Bryce, congratulations. I couldn't be prouder of a guy. I couldn't be happier for you and your family. I know you've worked so hard for this. You've done a great job for the University of Alabama. You've been a great ambassador, a great player. And now you've realized your dream of being able to play in the NFL. And I think the most important thing is it's great to get drafted where you got drafted, but it's also great to be able to stay focused on what you have to do to develop and have a great career. So, God bless you, good luck, and have a great career, and we're so proud of you and what you've done for the University of Alabama.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What a cool message from Nick Saban on NFL Twitter, recording that for Bryce Young, his quarterback, who was taken number one overall, former Heisman Trophy winner, of course, also helped to spark the tide to a championship in 2020. And he was there among those family and friends who were the first to congratulate Bryce when he found out that he was going number one overall to the Carolina Panthers, though he wasn't sure.
I wasn't confident in anything because I didn't really put a lot of stock in what was going to happen. I felt like, where I got drafted is something I can't control. You know, I try to do my best to present myself in the best light and try to be transparent and open and talk with all the teams that, that took time and, were able to give me the time to express that. And I didn't know it was going to happen, but I had, I had peace. And, whatever did happen, I knew it was where I was supposed to be. I knew God was going to handle that stuff. So, I didn't know anything. And for me, I was good with that. There was a lot of peace for me in that. So I'm super excited.
So I'm not sure why the Panthers wouldn't tell him he was going number one overall, maybe to make sure it didn't get out to anyone else, to any other teams. But it doesn't matter. If you're sitting in the number one spot, you're good. You get to choose whoever you want. So it doesn't matter what the teams behind you do. But I wonder if it was more about strategery and potentially seeing other teams try to move up or down based on their needs. But I'm not sure why, other than the drama. I don't think the NFL would tell them that they couldn't indicate to Bryce Young they were going to select him number one overall. Who knows? But he wasn't sure and didn't believe what he heard, which I think is really smart. The Panthers are so high on him. Frank Reich, of course, ready to tailor the offense around Bryce Young, though he will not start the year as, or he won't start the offseason, I should say, as QB1. They brought in Andy Dalton, potentially keep that seat warm, though I think he and everybody else in the building knows what's coming. But they're so high on him. The general manager, the head coach, even the owner. Consensus about Bryce Young going back a couple of months. Now, David Tepper, if you're wondering why he's off mic in this particular soundbite, it's because he never sat down. They were doing a press conference, and the owner of the Panthers, he never sat down. He stood up the whole time. He was so excited about Bryce Young.
When we're going through the process of these quarterbacks, one of the questions we ask ourselves is, which one of these guys will be, a guy that can take us here? What's the probability that this guy can take? Because there's no sure thing. So not to talk about all the different guys, but we thought this guy had the highest probability of winning Super Bowls. And
Super
I think
Bowls.
For myself, and I don't want to speak for Frank, and I think he feels, and Scott, we feel the same way. Listen, you want to win Super Bowls. And there's no sure thing here, but it's a probability sort. And we thought this guy has the best probability of winning us Super Bowls. The way he throws the ball, the way he's a point guard, how you can use the different players on the field, how you might not have to have as many elite receivers because he's a point guard, right? So he distributes the ball to people with routes. So you can save some money there. We believe we can save money other places because of him and put that money into the defensive side of the ball.
I just want to take things day by day. I'm super grateful to have that vote of confidence, from Mr. Tepper. That means the world. But for me, I want to take things day by day. Once we get there and I sit down, once I know what the team goals are, I want to take it day by day and do everything I can to help us accomplish those team goals.
So congratulations again to Bryce Young. And then C.J. Stroud, that question answered at number two. The Texans did not go defense at two. They went defense at three. Will Anderson ends up getting chosen number three overall because the Texans wanted to be able to say, we've got a cornerstone on offense and a cornerstone on defense. And Anderson, he's got a great smile, great grin, obviously a very highly touted prospect.
They're just getting a complete player, complete person, a high character player, but also a good player, you know what I'm saying? It's going to go out there, do his job every snap, relentless motor, high mindset, good motivation, good energy on the team, jumping up and down, and that's what I'm all about, and I'm ready.
I like jumping up and down. Good for you. Will Anderson and Bryce Young, both out of Alabama. So a lot of roll tides on social media on Thursday evening. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Anthony Richardson goes number 4 to the Indianapolis Colts. And what did Chris Ballard say? There was some relief there. We were pretty nervous about what might happen at number 3, if a team might leapfrog us to take Anthony Richardson. As it turns out, it was the Texans because they wanted a defensive guy. But Richardson, super emotional. His meteoric rise from when they were in Indianapolis for the combine. Remember all the talk about him, his strength and the accuracy, the arm. Now he's a project, but people were so taken by his workouts and his interviews there at the combine that he thrust himself into the conversation. So now he ends up going number 4 overall. And his brother Corey recorded a message for him.
Dear Anthony, I just wanted to take this moment to express how incredibly proud I am of you. You have accomplished so much and have shown so much determination throughout your life. Your hard work and dedication has paid off in so many ways, and it is truly inspiring to see the person you have become. Whether it is your academic achievements, your athletic achievements, or your personal growth, you have constantly pushed yourself to be the best you can be. I am honored to have a brother like you, and I am grateful for the examples you have set for me and others. Keep up the great work. And know that I'm always here to support you in all your future adventures. I love you, bro.
Dang it, man. Dang, man. Appreciate that, little bro. Dang.
I'd be doing the same thing if my brother recorded a message. So at the end, kind of the surprise payoff is that Anthony is watching this and Colts Twitter is recording him watching this brother from or this message from his brother and then sharing that on their feed. Yeah, these are the moments where as much as we are talking about fit, thinking about quarterbacks, and it's a spectacle, all the pomp and circumstance, it takes forever. I mean, for heaven's sakes, the first pick didn't even happen until about 20 minutes after the hour when it started. It's become so much more about the show, but it's also ultimately at its core about dreams coming true for these young men. And for Richardson, again, these last couple months, he went from, I don't want to say no name because that's not fair. He played at Florida, but would have been drafted much lower, possibly. Not a lot of buzz around him. And now he's number 4 overall to the Indianapolis Colts. What a cool story, a redemption story. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.